And so, a little bit about yourself, or selves.
Okay, hello everybody. So, first of all, I have to say this is a presentation of a bunch of group of people. And our main presenter, Sarah Subramaniam, couldn't be here, unfortunately, because his visa didn't come on time. So Fazal and I decided...
The UK visa screwed up, basically.
Yeah. Everyone knows that clearly. Yeah, so Fazal and I have the difficult task to present parts of his work. And we want to give you an introduction about how we're using radians for calculations to assess thermal comfort when we have complex fenestration systems in the facade. So the goal of this research is to use ray tracing to estimate the shortwave radiative load on human bodies. And as you can see, we really look at the human body in its geometry. This is a pretty pretty rough and coarse mannequin, but we have much more detailed mannequins with up to 2,000 polygons that represent the human body, and we can have different geometries. And now we're going to use radians to calculate the radiative load on this body, because then we can assess thermal comfort of these people, and I will explain how we do that. Some tools exist that look at solar radiation on human bodies, but they don't deal with complex fenestration systems. So this is like the benefit of our development, that we can use any system with BSCFs to calculate the solar load. So if you have the solar load, we look at the thermal physiology of the human body and then get sensation and comfort values from it. So we can tell how people will feel under certain conditions. And the outlook for our research is that we can use these results in whole building simulations, in annual simulations, in a coupling and interaction also with the HVAC systems, for example. So we're now going to talk about the impact of solar radiation on thermal comfort a little bit. Why is it important to look at solar load so closely? Then a short overview about radiosity approaches versus ray tracing approaches. And after we decided to go for the ray tracing approach, we'll show you that we did some kind of proof of concept by looking at the energy balance when using radians. And then we'll show some results of solar load calculations with this radiance method. And at the end, we'll present just an example how all this workflow will lead to detailed thermal sensation and comfort values for specific situations using a tool that's called FISCO. Okay, so if you look at thermal comfort, we divide our model called FISCO into three parts: a physiology part, where we model the body, a sensation, and a comfort part. For the physiology part, we need all the environmental conditions: air temperature, velocity, relative humidity, MRT. Of course, also some more physiological parameters like metabolic rate and closing time. And especially, we need the local solar load on the body. This model that we have divides the body into 16 body parts and 4 layers per body part, like core, muscle, fat, and skin. And it looks at all heat transfer processes in the body through the different layers, and on the outside, convection, long wave radiation, thermoregulation through vasodilation, vasoconstriction, sweating, shivering, evaporation, respiration, and of course, shortwave radiation. So the physiology model gives us skin and core temperatures. And based on these skin and core temperatures, basically on the difference between the calculated skin and core temperatures compared to some neutral skin and core temperatures. We get sensation values as local sensation values for the single body part, so you can see a little bit of very hot head, and an overall sensation value for the whole body. So here it's on a 9-point scale, and based on this local sensation and the resulting overall sensation, we can define local comfort values and overall comfort values. And as we have a very hot head, and the head is very sensitive to heat, we get, for example, very uncomfortable values for the head here. So this is our FISCO, our physiology, sensation, and comfort model. So now, what we developed already some time ago was an approach based on radiosity, on view factors. There's a discretization in the room, and of course on the mannequin, we already have the discretization on the mannequin, to calculate the solar load through this view factor approach. The resulting solar load per polygon of a mesh mannequin then gave us the 16 solar load values for the physiology model. So we passed these solar load values to FISCO, calculated comfort and sensation, and then we can pass this to a building simulation and have exactly what we want to have, this interaction in the building simulation based on local and overall sensation and comfort values. So this was our previous approach with view factors, and it worked well, but it's also pretty time consuming to calculate view factors for accurate geometries. So what we are now trying to achieve is to use radians to calculate the solar load on the different mannequins, and then again pass it to the FISCO model. Why does it make to use radians? If you have a view factor based approach, then we have to model the whole geometry, because we have to look at all view factors between all surfaces and check if this is a consistent calculation. While as if we use radians, we can concentrate on a specific area of interest and can just calculate the solar load for this specific area of interest, for example, only the load through the window onto the body. And of course, this is then the input for the FISCO, for the somophysiology model. So radians has many advantages over the over the radiosity approach with view factors. And we also found that speed-wise, it can really keep up with the radiosity approach if we reduce the area of interest and under some assumptions. And so we decided we continue using radians for this solar load calculation for thermal comfort assessment. Okay, so at this point, I will pass to Fazel, and he's now presenting the radians part. Oh, what I forgot to mention, this is some this group of people includes Eleanor Lee from LBNL, but also Tao Ning and Craig Ward, who weren't on the slides as authors. They are always in the call giving us good advice on the radians part, and if it comes to very specific question, I hope Tao Ning and Craig will jump in and help to answer these questions.
Okay, hello everybody, I'm Fazel, and I shouldn't be here, I am. Basically, to get that local values of solar radiation on every body segment, we need to calculate somehow the view factor or the contribution of every polygon to the source of radiative emittance on the surface. We have two options to do that. One can be done with defining the classic radiance, let's call it this way. We have that rectangle of the blue rectangle, and which is their kind of receiver, and you can define on every polygon on the mannequin or any different meshes a point with a normal direction. That can be one way of doing that. And the other is defining two different surfaces. This is actually close to the radiosity method and the view factor calculation, which considers two surfaces to do the calculation all the time. We try to use this option one and follow up with defining rays on the mannequin and defining the source of the like the window as a source of the radiation. As you see in here, we took the option one, and on the mannequin, which as you see, it's really simplified and really coarse, but it shows the concept clearly. We define the ray origins. As you have the sample in here, it has been defined on every polygons of the mannequin. And the ray direction also, you see these green arrays. Then basically what we should do is for each like these small meshes, we have the radiative loads on the mesh. And what we need is to just multiply the area of that mesh to irradiance. And the final step is summing up all the meshes which are connected to one body segments. For example, the head can be consist of many meshes corresponding to the head shape. Then we sum up all those values to calculate the local values. Before doing that, we need to do the kind of test to see if the energy balance is correct in by using radiance and this stuff. What we checked is the sending and receiving energy should be normally equal. Then we define the same rays in, it's just a big box with a window. And we define this receiver, big receiver, and we put all these rays as a sender. This is backward ray tracing, then we call this way. And as you see, we selected a completely black geometry, and the only glowing part is the window surface. Then we should end up basically to equal if you divide this receive and send together. There was one issue we found out that we should take into consideration: the discretization of the building, all the surfaces should be fine enough, because if you have really a coarse mesh, you might get some errors and the data can be off. And if you do the discretization right and define the parameters of radiance correctly, like the sampling and the numbers and the options of radiance, you can get this receive divided by send equal to one, and this is the goal we are looking for. After this step, we were okay to use radiance and we were confident. Then we put the mannequin inside that box to see if the sum of this value is again equal, receiving and sending data. As you can see again here, this is a window, for example, in here. The surface area of window is known, and the glow value is also known per watt per square meter per steradian. And then the radiated energy, the total radiated energy is obvious. Then we calculate and sum up all the radiation we absorb on the human body plus the surfaces in the room. And as you see that, it's actually okay, and we can go for this approach further. Then just the intermediate conclusion, we did the energy balance and we found out that's correct. Then we have the thermal calculations, and we know that this requires like a climatic based sky conditions, and then we try to use that sky conditions into the model. The glazing aperture contains the complex fenestration. Then BSDF and types of BSDF are really important, and we had this into the end of the presentation. And finally, what we have as a coefficient-based approach is employed to prevent redundancy. Then it can be used easier for annual simulation. Yeah, basically that's the main idea for using this method for annual simulation. This is the same as like three-phase method. We have we use this Daylight coefficient approach, and we extract the let's say wrong values of the very big patches which representing the sun, and we replace that with the exact sun position with the correct size. And in this method, we consider the geometry of the mannequin. It is already inside the model and can be located in the beginning by the user. And it can have different shapes and the different postures. And also, we consider all the surfaces black to just don't consider the reflection part. And BSDF already just implemented not as a matrix, but just in scene geometry into this model. And what we get is we use the raw irradiance values, and we didn't use the weighting function, of course, because we consider about the watt per square meter on every polygons. As you can see in this time lapse, this is just over 1 year based on the daily hourly results, and probably 4th of February in Germany. And the procedure is taking the TMY hourly data, and you have the geometry of the buildings plus the mannequin, and we should define the rays based on what we want to have. And pass this to the radiance, and through this pipeline, you can get the values. You need some post-processing by using Python codes, but we finally have this. We can compare right now the impact of shading into the room with let's say, higher resolution on the mannequins and on the body shape on the human body. Then you can assess really the impact of shadings on thermal comfort. As you see here, this is just one sample for the Germany, and then this is 4th of February, and you see exactly this shading pattern comes from the impact of using blinds into this. And you also see this high intensity over there, and also the distribution of this solar load on the mannequin or on human body. If we take these values, right now we are in here, then through the pipeline of radiance, you can go through all the comments and take these local values ready for using in physiology and sensation and comfort model. This is one of the examples. I can spend a little time on that. Then this is basically the sky condition we had for that day. This is 4th of February in Germany and Mannheim. And you see the global value. Actually, it's not too high. It's like 200 watts per square meter on horizontal surface. On this, you can see the local solar load here. And also the over the head, you have this. As you see, this is basically the watts in here on the local body parts. Right now, we have only head. And on the other side, we have also the sum over all body parts. Then this is just the sum value, and it has a different scale. Then the sum at this time to PM was around 12, and the local value over the head was around like 1.8, let's say, watt. And if you pass these values to the physiology model, physical, also considering some environmental case like 24 degrees of centigrade and MRT, which is a more neutral case for our study, you will see the impact of this jump of radiation on over the time on the head. This is the sensation of the head, and you see that after absorbing this amount of energy on the head, you see this head feels really hot, or exactly warm, based on the scale we have. Then also we have the overall sensation, which has the influence of that shift. And the same things happens because we use this data to also estimate or predict the overall comfort. You see also this impact that the local sensation, local comfort of head goes down to even uncomfortable based on that solar radiation on the head. And maybe I should mention that this is completely different. This detailed thermal comfort indices are totally different from PMV and PPD in this view that, that it is completely dynamic over a period of time. Then it's a transient behavior, and it's not only a steady state like PPD or PMB. And this is, that was clear window or clear glazing, and this is the impact of using shading. As you see, maybe you can check this out in here, you have this drop on the amount of radiation you have on the body, on head, and also you can see the impact on the overall sensation of head. It's not reaching that heat spot anymore, and also you see that it's not reaching to the uncomfortable area. This is basically the potential we can have by using radiance and trying to open up a new field to that, which is the thermal assessment. And this is part of the thing, say, to, we together tried to finish that, but we couldn't. But we also so interested about finding the impact of different types of BSDF and then see into the thermal comfort assessment. And maybe the conclusion is radiance-based workflow of calculating this local solar values on the human body has been formulated, and it can be available like a tool because the procedure is done, and the precision of the calculation is influencing by the discretization, of course. And the results from annual TMY-based simulation have been used for corresponding thermal comfort calculation that can lead us to annual simulation with a more realistic sky condition. That's all. Thank you.
I have a question. How do you deal with the long wave infrared radiation? So if you think of normal glazing, we have the inner layer absorbs maybe 2 to 5%. If we look at our favorite shading device from this morning, this fabric over there, we have an absorptance of 30%. This is transferred into heat, which is radiated to other physical laws. So the question is, how do you deal with that? Or do you have plans to include that in that workflow?
Yeah, it's actually the next step, or we're already working on that. And we have all the basics to do that, because we're anyway calculating long wave radiative heat exchange with the physiology model. So the only thing that's missing is first determining the surface temperatures after glazing as well as of the surrounding surfaces, and then using this in the long wave radiative calculation. But we are totally working on that, and it's an important point.
But you need another model for that, because for the calculating the temperatures, this is
right.
I don't know how to do this with radiance. So.
But to follow on from that, you said the rationale was to use BSDFs. So you need irradiance BSDFs, they're not illuminance ones. So how far does Peter's goninfotometer go in the long wave?
I mean, it's an issue. Certainly you can do it for the shortwave infrared and heat, and we do have filters at LBL and I think other places that will measure that directly. And everything else is the same. You just have different data. The long wave, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, with the low E coatings, you know, that's a huge problem then, with the long wave.
Yeah, we've coupled radiance with Energy Plus. So I think Andy was the first one that did this, where we have the coefficients for the absorbed radiation per layer, and then you do the heat balance with an Energy Plus that determines the surface temperature of the glass, and then that.
Sure. This is possible, but this has to be included into the BTDF. This is.
There is solar optical in the BTDF. It doesn't go into the long wave, but the sun doesn't emit very much in the long wave. It's most of the long wave that you experience in buildings is. Energy that's been absorbed and
absorbed.
So and glass is opaque to the long wave IR, so you know, you just need to know how much energy is landing on the outside surface to then do the balance equations. So it's there's not much that needs to be added to the BSDF. The BSDF also includes the emissivity of the inside surface as well, so you've got that.
And these are research grade tools. I mean, this isn't something you just pick up and do, right? Because we're talking about integration of gradients to energy plus, and then, you know, just the pump model. But, you know, every time I talk to Mustafa about integrating something, 2 weeks it's already done. So it's not like it's impossible to integrate these tools.
I mean,
high resolution BSDF, they're like 3 years. Yeah, but I think, like, when that simplified model finally comes in, then everything is ready to be added.
Or Open Studio for that matter. There's the, you know, that tool is integrated. So it's, you know, you need to do the work first, and then, you know, incorporate it into third-party software tools.
And again, Jan, one simple solution to deal with language-radiative exchange would be to couple it with the building simulation, right? So have the building simulation taking care of the language-radiative part.
I wanted to ask if the FISCO is related to CVE human thermal comfort tool, and if it's related to that project, what are the differences? What are the additional benefits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically the physiology model that we are using is based on Stolwijk and 60 body part extended Stolwijk model. Tanabe worked on it. He's one of the main people developing these models, physiology models. And it is similar to the advanced CVE tool that you can still find as a ready software package. It's a little bit simplified because we're not taking care of closing nodes.
Mm-hmm.
It has advantages because it's a little bit simpler in the structure, also in the software architecture. This is why we're using it, and we added the solar load part to it. And then the sensation and comfort model, this is completely Chang Wei's dissertation. So this is how you come from skin and core temperatures to local overall sensation, local and overall comfort. This is just, we just coded her equations. So it's similar to CVE.
Hi. I'll just ask if you have thought of using a similar approach to an outdoor comfort, at least for the MRT part of it?
Yeah. I mean, there was a work some years ago where we used, like, the in this case, a CVE advanced tool for outdoor conditions. And now using radiance for outdoor conditions, that would be an interesting new step. I don't know how much work is ongoing with radiance in outdoor conditions.
Okay, one last one.
And regarding the convection part, how do you take account of this convection part?
Yeah, at the moment we just give input values. So you could run a CFD simulation and then have detailed values, but we don't do it right now.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.